I will read you something that my master said about disciplehood. Beloved Osho, it seems to me just because you give someone sannyas, it does not necessarily mean that they are a disciple. Does one have to earn discipleship, or does it just happen? It is a complicated question. Three things. First, me giving sannyas does not make one a disciple. It simply shows his intention to become a disciple. Secondly, you have to do everything that you can do to earn disciplehood. Although you cannot earn it, it happens. But it can happen only if you have exhausted all your resources in earning it. So you cannot drop the earning part. If you drop the earning part, the happening will never be possible. For the happening to happen, your ego should be so exhausted, so utterly tired, so flat on the ground, that you are almost egoless. It's gone, even for a few seconds. And that will give enough time for the happening. The flower of discipleship is something so unique, so beautiful, that those who have not found it have missed the treasure in their life. It is the most precious treasure, because with discipleship, so much happens multidimensionally. You become so relaxed, so at ease, so at home. For the first time, you know what relaxation is, because it is now a part of the happening. But in discipleship, you cannot manage it, but it happens. Because it is a happening, simultaneously many things will be triggered in you, which are of a similar nature. A deep relaxation will happen. For the first time, you will feel so light and without any tensions. Trust will happen, for the first time without any reason. A deep yes, a total yes to existence, whatever it brings. It may bring life, more life, it may bring death, but it doesn't matter. It is a yes. As far as your yes is concerned, nothing matters. Your yes is unconditional. It arises in you and fills your heart. Then you live an unworried, non-tense life without any goal, without any desire to reach anything or go anywhere. Love, real love, happens for the first time. A love which is not against hate. This love cannot be turned into hate. It is outside of the duality of the ordinary experiences of life. Compassion comes to you, a compassion even for those things which you have always thought were dead. It is not a question of the object of compassion. It is a question of the subject full of compassion. For example, this light bulb is not bothered whether its light is falling on dead things or on living things. It is unconcerned. It is just its nature. And love, when it's natural, flowing, never turns into hate. A great feeling comes when you have found this. It is, in fact, unexplainable. Discipleship is no ordinary experience. So remember, neither can I make you the sannyasin, nor can you make yourself a sannyasin. But I can give you the direction. I give you the direction. And you have to work hard to exhaust yourself completely, not holding anything back, knowing perfectly well that this is not going to give you disciplehood. It's not going to give you the ultimate peace, but in a way, it's going to give it. It is strange, it's a paradox, because when you have done everything that you can do, only then a silence descends on you, and all effort drops, for you have done everything. You are in a state of non-action, and in that state, in that moment, the blossoming of discipleship. Suddenly, so many flowers surround you, so much fragrance, so much light, so much gratitude. You will feel so grateful to the Master. He has not given it to you, but without him, you would have had no direction. And you will feel so thankful, so grateful for all the efforts that you have made, because without them you would not have come to this sudden stop, where time and space both stand still. And once it has happened, once you have tasted it, then you know the way, just like you know where your room is. Even in darkness, you can reach it. Even with closed eyes, you can find it. The experience is so beautiful, so wholesome, that you would like to have it again and again. Slowly, slowly, it will become so natural. But no outsiders can understand it. Just seeing the Master, it will be triggered. This can only happen to a true disciple. Just seeing the picture of the Master on your mala, it may be triggered. Or just remembering the Master, it may be triggered. Anything connected with the Master, any word, any thought, you will not go through the whole process. The whole process will happen so fast that you will not even be able to take note of it. You will suddenly reach to disciplehood, to a deep inner peace. This is very difficult to explain to people. Why you have my picture on your mala. But it's so esoteric, they will not be able to understand it. But it is a key. It's very unique and very simple. Just by holding it in your hand, just by looking at it, just by remembering, you can be transported immediately into that beautiful space. Beloved one, when I was a child, my mom had a poem on her bedroom door. It was the poem Our Children by Cahil Gibran. I used to spend hours and hours reading it, trying to understand the meaning of the very strange words that I found on that paper. What does he mean? What does it mean? Your children are not your children, it said. What does that mean? Your children are not your children. Does that mean my parents are not my parents? Then who are my parents? Or the word longing or soul, what does it mean? At that time, nothing made sense in that poem, but still something in it fascinated me. It hooked me up in a way. And that 12-year-old girl took that poem and printed it in her heart like a puzzle. Every now and then, life pulled it out and she understood another word or another feeling. Slowly, slowly, the words start to make sense. Today, as I walk to satsang, this memory came out, the memory of the girl staring at the door reading the poem. And I felt this overwhelming feeling that even back then, we were already connected, you and me, and there is no other way other than be connected. Being connected to you is being connected with life itself. That's what the master is doing, because you forget, and it's just to remind you that you are connected and trust that you are connected. There is nothing to do, because it's impossible to be separated, in fact, and still we suffer so much because we have forgotten we are connected. It's a very strange dilemma. I feel that that poem was one of your many invitations into myself, into my soul, into this amazing journey together. And the mind-blowing thing is that I can now not only understand the poem, but live it. And it's touching me so deep to see this arrow flying on fire, to feel the fire inside. It's all too much. Thank you for your steady hand. Love, Chanda. Like I said, only a lover understands love, not the language of love. If you're not a lover, how can you understand the language of love? It's impossible. And a child cannot understand these words because you are not mature enough. To somebody who is in kindergarten, you cannot tell them about the ups and downs of married life. It's impossible. You have to have the experience. Only by your own experience will you grow. But many people, they still don't understand because they live very immaturely. Even if they are 50, they still have the old way of thinking like a 13, 14-year-old. They say most people, they don't change much after that. You have already all your inputs in society. Because this, for anybody in the normal world, the children is not your children. Then who is my parents then? That's the problem with words from the mystics. Because everybody used the same words, but it's a totally different meaning. A child understands one thing, a grown-up can understand something else, and a different mature person will understand something else. It depends on your understanding, of your consciousness. That's why they are so misunderstood. And this Cahil Gibran, he talks about attachment and non-attachments. And what is more attachment than your children? That's how it's always have been. And your attachment to the family, to the parents. So he is really coming from a mystic space in this. He was not a mystic, he wasn't enlightened, but he had deep insights. And maybe when he wrote this, he had the satori, because it's really words of truth. And all the Buddha says, attachment is suffering. Why is attachment suffering? Because everything will pass. You cannot hold on to anything in this world. It's impossible. But you forget that because you see yourself only as a body, only as a person. Then you want to hold on. And in that holding on, you kill it. You kill the beauty of it because you cannot hold on. It's like when people come together, then slowly, slowly they want to hold on, they want to possess, and then they kill the love. You want to possess is your children. You cannot possess. It's a very immature way to see it, but then again, everybody is very immature. People like Cahil Gibran, they're trying to expand your consciousness, to start seeing things as they are. And that is all what I'm doing also. I'm just trying to get you more and more to see things as they are. It's nothing new, it's just things as they are in reality. But for to see existence as it is, then you have to get rid of all your ideas, your dogmas, your fantasies, your attachments, your personal ideas. All that has to go. And that is the hard work. Like Osho was just talking about, you have to put your total effort, exhaust yourself, so you can't do anything more, so the ego is crumbling. Sooner or later, it will give up. Then you will see things as they are. This is a very beautiful poem. It's one of the most beautiful books. The prophet of Cahil Gibran. He says, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, they do not belong to you. All just remind us how it is. Who are you? Everything is happening. It's a big mystery how things are happening. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts. And this is totally forgotten, because the parents give them so much thoughts and ideas how things should be, and right and wrong, and education, and the society, and the teachers. But who is giving them love? So if the focus had been more on love, on playfulness, on innocence, instead of thought, then the world would be a much better place. But the masses never listen to the mystics. In fact, they're crucifying them. They're poisoning them. Because it's not how the society is set up. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts. Because love gives everything that you need. Then your own consciousness can flower, undisturbed by anything from the outside. And look at your own parents. Look at the grown-up people. Look at the presidents. Look at the kings. Look at the pop stars. Look at anybody you want who has any clear direction. Who has any love? Who has any consciousness in their heart to guide people, even to take care of their own children? And this is what we've been listening to for thousands of years. And that's why it's such a mess as it is. The only way is to find love, come back to yourself. Then you see, only then you see the value of love. Then you will be truthful also to your children. Oh, maybe I don't know, but this is how it is. You have to figure it out yourself. That is what life is about. Everybody have their own journey. But it's the love, it's the trust, it's the friendship that is important. Not to give you the thoughts, and the thoughts from somebody who is also lost. You see the mess, how it has been. And then the poor child will get more confused. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. Cahil Gibran must have seen how fucked up you are. So please, don't seek to make them like you. And that's what everybody, all the parents have done, down the centuries. Becoming the same, that's the easiest, as your parents. So no growth, no expansion, it's like stagnant. New bodies, new life come, but it's the same story. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. And why strive to be like them? Because the child still have innocence. Just like Jesus said, become like children. Why children? Because they still have innocence. They are unpolluted. Then at a certain stage, at a certain age, then they start getting more and more polluted. That's what's happening in school. And they lose the innocence. And then very, very few manage to come across something that can bring it back. That is what is happening here, reminding you again and again of your inner clarity. You don't need all those thoughts. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. Life goes forward, and the children is the future. So support them, love them, but don't give them ideas. You are the bows from which your children are living arrows, as living arrows are sent forth. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. Then, as a bow, and you're shooting an arrow, then be very clear where you are sending that arrow, that you have a direction. That can only happen if you have some awareness. Otherwise, in unconsciousness, that arrow might land anywhere. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness. For even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable. Again, a reminder, have balance, both. Fly, expand, be weightless, be the spirit, the heart, the adventure. But also be steady, be stable, be centered, be grounded. These two together. But to teach that, you have to have it. And the greatest art of life is to just be a witness to life. To enjoy everything. But you get so involved and you have so many ideas, and then all those personal ideas can easily become problematic. So I'm happy, Chandra, now you understand, because now you have lived through it. Things take time, but that's very good. Because you are free, and your children is free, and in fact everybody is free. But to accept that freedom, that takes responsibility. And because there is no love, then there is rules. If there is love, then that understanding, rules comes by themselves. And nobody likes rules. I don't think any intelligent person likes rules. I always hated rules. Because you want to rebel of any thing that keeps you stuck. That is natural. But out of your understanding, then you see that things are necessary, but they shouldn't be forced on anybody. And because we don't see clearly, then you get very entangled with the family and your dramas and your attachments. Because that's what you've been taught for many lifetimes. But you can only really take care of yourself and become conscious yourself and maybe hint to the people that is lost, that they have to take responsibility also. Otherwise, it is the old story, the blind leading the blind. Good luck.
Tell me so, tell me so. Love will lead us on.
everything comes to the person who waits. I remember that today because I heard we had potatoes today for lunch. Then I was thinking about Mudita. Because she loves potatoes. And a few times early in the retreat, the other day we had some other food, some polenta or something. Then I thought, oh, it's mashed potatoes. Then it was polenta. And then, oh, shit, poor Mudita, I was thinking. But today, they came. They came late, but when it comes, and it's good. Do you know, my dear Mudita, that they have a potato club down the Ness? You don't know? Because I saw outside that restaurant in Ness, they have potato club. I think every Thursday or something, they have potato club. So all the potato lovers can go with Mudita. You can borrow the ashram wagon, the yellow Donald Duck truck, and go. Because it can get too much rice there, maybe. It's the small things in life. I tell you. Mudita, should we talk more about potatoes or we go on? We go on, okay. You have boiled potato, fried potato, baked potato, mashed potato. It's just like the shrimps in... What was it? Forrest Gump, no? Fried shrimp, boiled shrimp. Like that. It's unending. Beloved Babaji, I came here with a kind of sadness that I could only stay for 8 days and I was feeling stuck. Then I had beautiful sharings, meeting people, and in satsang, I found myself not really listening to your words, but I was looking at you and taking in the love. I know, you know, that you are new here, and I always said when you are just staying here, whoever it is, then things will happen. Because you are used to, everybody is used to being alone. And being alone with your own mad mind is terrible. Being alone with this silent mind is bliss. So in that phase is very, very important and helpful and nourishing to be with other travelers on the path. And that's what the Sangha is. You have some people behind you, some people next to you, some people who have gone a little further, some people who have gone a long way further, some people you can hardly see, but maybe you smell some nice fragrance. You say everything now is falling into place. Thank you 1,000 times. I'm more grateful than I can ever put into words. Yeah, I know this feeling because it's life and death. And here you will have to go through it. And it's very easy. Because in the whole atmosphere, it helps you to become more conscious, more light, more unburdened. And talking with people, you are not alone. You get help. All your sisters and your brothers, they're all in the same boat. Then you don't take yourself so serious. You are not so stuck. Stuck can be very terrible when you are alone. You don't know how to go move on, and you don't have people around who can help you, because people are not ahead of you. To get help, you have to have somebody who is ahead of you. When you fall down the well, it's difficult to get up. Impossible. You have to have somebody that is there, up, to pull you up. It's like that. Then when you're up, then you laugh. That is the relief. Then you remember, oh my God, how could I be so stupid? I fell down there in that black hole. Next time I have to be more conscious, no? But that might take time. But that's what you have to use when you are here, if you have this, still this wavering. You have to become friends with others. I'm going to use the rest of the week to integrate this realization and to really go into the joy and to start taking responsibility for my life and my life only. That I say from the very beginning, you have to take responsibility for your own life. Otherwise, how could you ever take responsibility for somebody else? It's impossible. If you are not centered, if you are not loving, if you are not responsible for yourself, how can you teach others to be responsible? It's impossible. And that's the mess we are. Just like Cahil Gibran says, you take care of your children, you take care of the family, you take care of everybody, but it's just on the surface. You still need to be centered. Then out of that centeredness, out of that peace, when you are not stuck, when you are flowing, then you can easily see where you should help and not help. Otherwise, this helping also comes from guilt, especially in your own family, that you are supposed to do something. Otherwise, you feel guilty. And that is terrible. Out of your clarity, which is now start appearing, then you see this is nonsense. Because even if you want to help, it's impossible to help if they are not receptive. And it's not lasting long just to help somebody like putting a Band-Aid on. No, they need operation, and that they have to start looking at themselves, and that is very difficult. God, is it difficult? Ask me. I'm dealing with that, even you want to, and it's difficult. What to say of people who are totally asleep? They want quick answers, quick relief. No, it's not possible. You have to look at yourself, be responsible. Which only now you realize, you've been around me for years. It takes time for this to go in. I'm really going to take responsibility for my life and my life only. I provide for the kids, of course, and be a support for them, but my parents and sister will have to sort it out on their own problems. Yeah, well. This is how it is many times. You get so involved. It dawned on me that this really isn't my responsibility to sort out the chaos in my family. It really sank in my heart and not just my brain. I understood that before, but have not been able to do anything about it. No, because it has been more a mental understanding. It has to become a realization. Then you see. If, of course, anybody is available for the help, then you help. But don't waste time unnecessary. That's not why you are here. And that you can only see in clarity. Is no point. Even here is no point. If you are not open for help, is no point. I cannot give you anything. You have to be open, available. But normally people are just complaining, no? It is almost overwhelming, this feeling of relief. No more mediator on my behalf and no more guilt trips for standing up for myself. Yahoo. And that's why we keep ourselves in those kind of life negative situations because of guilt. And when you see that this is all part of the mind, and which you can only see if you have a glimpse that you are not the mind, then everything falls into place. It's very clear, everything is very clear, but nothing is clear if you are in that game of the mind, if you are in your identity. Then you will have fear, you will have guilt, all these poisons, no? You are sucked in to the society, to the family, and you are not strong enough to trust yourself, to break free. You have to become strong enough and trust yourself and have integrity to standing up for yourself and speak the truth. Enough is enough. This doesn't work anything more. Otherwise, we can go on the whole life. And only by breaking out and becoming happy yourself, becoming free yourself, only then can you really help people. But it's gone so deep that you almost feel guilty to break free. It's totally amazing. That's what I'm saying. You are longing to be free and still you are resisting. So seeing the situation that is possible, then it will give you courage and you will stand up for yourself. And you have to be courageous enough to say that to yourself and to say that to anybody else, including your family. And that doesn't mean that you don't love them, but you love more, not this emotional love, not this guilt trip love. It's time to celebrate love and life. What a gift. It only took me 7 years. And that's quite funny, but now I'm ready for happiness, Baba. Happiness. I love you always and always. Do you know? Yeah, it took you 7 years. Isn't that amazing? That's what I have to go on talking, I see. Because even if I said it 7 years, it takes 7 years to sink in. Sometimes it takes 17 years. Sometimes it takes 7 lives. What can we do? But when it sinks in, then it transforms you. The words cannot do. You have to be in a space that it's enough. It has to be a kind of ripeness that the transformation happens. The insights happen. Because otherwise, people were sitting for 20 years around Osho also, and nothing happened. They just listen. It's always like that. And you never know when it happens. But it happens. It can happen. But when you have an insight and a realization and a moment of clarity that this is how it is, then please act on it. Don't fall back into the old, because that is very easy. You get the moment of clarity, everything is fine. No, you are here, you are riding high, it's like surfing, you're on the top of the wave. No, you have to stand up for that when you go back to your unconscious life. You have to integrate it to make it conscious. That is the whole work. Otherwise, it will become a memory. Yeah, sometimes the family, you know, it's very serious sometimes. Has it been like that for you? Huh? Very serious business. It hasn't been for me, but sometimes it is. I see. Many people, you know, they say, oh, I have to go and visit my family. Oh my God. Like that. Then something is not so good. You should be happy to see the family. And if not, then sort it out. Or leave it. Family should be a loving thing. It shouldn't be a serious thing. That you. I don't know. The people get so serious. All this. My family. My parents. My children. My. Big problem.
Hey there, shining star. You're a real cool cat. You got a little of this and a little of that. So don't be afraid to boogie and jam. And why good as fast as you can, dancing around like you just don't care, feeling God's spirit from your toes to your hair.
Hey there, Papa Bear, you're a real cool cat. You got a little of this and a little of that, so don't be afraid to boogie and jam. Up and wahegudu fast as you can.
Dancing around like you just don't care. Feeling God's spirit from your toes to your hair. Hey there, Mama Bear, you're a real cool cat. You got a little of this and a little of that. So don't be afraid to boogie and jam. Up and wahe guru fast as you can. Dancing around like you just don't care. Feeling God's spirit from your toes to your hair.
Hey there, happy face, you're a real cool cat. You got a little of this and a little of that. So don't be afraid to boogie and jam. Stand up and wahe guru fast as you can.
Dancing around like you just don't care. Feeling God's spirit from your toes to your hair. Hey little yogi, you're a real cool cat. You got a little of this and a little of that. So don't be afraid to boogie and jam. And wahe guru fast as you can. Dancing around like you just don't care. Feeling God's spirit from your toes to your hair.
Thank you, all cool cats. Just close your eyes, sit comfortable. Take that lightness of being inside. And feel that you never be afraid to speak the truth or stand up for yourself. And remember, you're all children of existence, of God. Everybody is in the same boat, floating in space, on Mother Earth.
To